WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Welcome, my friends, to the Texas Power Hour with Pastor Carolyn Sism and friends. This radio show is an outreach ministry of Eastgate Ministries in Katy, Texas. Experience the power. Experience the glory with Pastor Carolyn Sism.
Bases for their airplanes, and Russia and all of this thing is unfolding. So we know that we bombed some of these sites where they are making the Syrian, the gas, the chemicals, chemical warfare gas. But if you noticed, Israel went in ahead of us and they bombed some things. Okay, then we went in and we bombed, us and France and the United Nations. I'm just thinking out loud, y'all, today, okay, so y'all think with me. Okay, after we bombed them, one unidentified plane went in and blew up a Iranian base on top of one of the mountains where they had a large stash of ammo and things. Okay, and then four unidentified planes went in and, unidentified planes, let's put it that way, went in and blew up four military bases where Iran has their airplanes. Now, right away we knew that was Israel. I mean, I did. I mean, that's, who else would it be? But Israel took their opportunity to go in, since I guess the radar had been, we'd already flown through their radar system. And so they just went on the end and they blew up those air bases that are in Syria that belong to Iran. Israel had claimed that they did this. They accused them and they didn't answer to it. But I copied this. Unidentified aircraft bombed Syrian military bases on Saturday night, leaving several Iranian soldiers dead. According to the reports by the Syrian media, an arms depot in Jebel Azan in the Aleppo region, said to be one of the largest in the country, was attacked from the air, causing a massive explosion. Witnesses cited in the reports described loud explosions and flames seen from the base. Iranian soldiers were among the casualties in this attack, according to the reports. So I began to search last night to try to pull all this together, and I did find a site, and Iran is declaring that Israel did this and that they're going to bomb Israel. That was last night, and it was 2 hours old. You know how they put on there how old something is? It was 2 hours old. So, Zechariah 12, 8 through 9. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them at that day be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. It shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. Just as the gospel church is the seed of Abraham, we're also the seed of David. So this prophecy is for both natural and gathered Israel and spiritual Israel. Beth said this morning, and I was praying, it came out of my mouth, that the United States of America is a key in God's end time prophetic plans. And Beth identified us with that scripture that there is a nation that you know not of. And see, we are a Christian nation. We are a Christian nation. We are a United States of America is a Christian nation.
A Judeo Christian nation.
Yes. And I'll be getting into this, Beverly. Just give me time to get into it. But as a Christian nation, we have the authority of the greater David, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the promises that are given to Israel came to us through Jesus Christ. So I was concerned that only Israel had the authority to bomb Syria, which they do. They have, God gave the authority to them in the Word of God. But God also gave King Jesus, through his seed, the authority as well. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. And at evening time it shall be light. In the 20th and 21st centuries, Israel as a nation has come into great prosperity and prominence on the world stage. They have one of the greatest armies in the world. We have the greatest, everybody says we have the greatest, I assume we do. But I think there's probably is right next to us. And their military is one of the strongest and greatest in the world. Yet they continue to be persecuted and contend for the land. And there is bombing going on in the north. There's bombing by Hezbollah, which is Iranian. Hezbollah is Iran. Okay, Gaza on the south. And all around, these bombings are going on every day in Israel.
Yes. And night.
And the Lord will bind up the breach of his people and heal the stroke of their wounds. Crown him Lord of all. We will rest in his love. He will joy over us with singing. Israel has become the global spiritual metropolis of the nations of the saved and of the converted children of Abraham. Isaiah 2:2-3. It shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Many people shall go and see, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Israel, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This prophecy has been fulfilled in our lifetime, my lifetime. The nations of the world travel to Israel. The Lord is God over Jerusalem. He has walked and talked with me there, just like he walks and talks with me here. So there is no distance in spirit. All the nations who refuse him allegiance will cast their crown before him. And it seems we're accelerating into God's end time program. We may be on time again in Romans chapter 11. It's a clarion call to the Gentiles, that the time of the Gentiles may soon be coming to an end. As the spirit of stupor takes over Christian nations, and we watch the Lord fulfill his end time prophecies concerning Israel and the nation. I believe a spirit of stupor has come over much of America. They are totally clueless. All of this liberal agenda, they're totally clueless to the time. They don't know anything about the Bible. And not many pulpits are preaching. I mean, they may go into the book of Revelation and open up these things and say, this means this and this means that. But they're not really applying it to man. And what God means for now. Excuse me. Got something in my throat. Okay, as in most chapters of the Bible, let's say have say something important. There's still much theological dispute about this chapter. As you know, I don't care what your theological understanding is. You just go ahead and have it. I'm fine with you. I'm just interpreting it what God chose me. And that's what I have. You know that my calling is to preach the kingdom of God. That's my calling. So no matter which way we go, that's where we're going to end up. And I will preach it today. The Lord's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and it's not of this world. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords of all the kingdoms of the earth. The Abraham covenant gave Jesus the land and the earth. The Davidic covenant gave him the throne and the right to rule the earth. All who are serious Bible scholars have to put away once and for all the notion that God is through with Israel. Amen. There are those who believe Israel has been cast aside like a worn out shoe. And that God's promises are to be fulfilled through the Gentile nations. Now, there are people who believe that.
That's insane.
The political ideology of Christians in many Arab nations is anti-Semitic. I've heard them. They may be Christians preaching the word of God, but they hate Israel.
How can you be a Christian and hate Israel? You're not a Christian.
Family, please let me preach this. If you just listen, you might understand if you listen. I'll get there if you'll just listen. Thank you, Sarah. I've heard you preach. The first time I went to Israel, I spoke over there at a conference, and there were people there from all over the world, from other nations, from Jordan, from the Arab nation, but they were Christians. But they got up there and they spoke about how they hated Israel.
Shame.
And it's over the land. And this, again, is the political spirit over those cultures. If you read in Joshua, where God gave all of this land to Israel, you're going to understand why the Lebanese have this, again, because God gave Lebanon to Israel. So you can see why that animosity has been carried all the way down through these years. The apostle will make no less than 10 quotes from the Old Testament to show that God is not through with Israel. Even though she has been set aside for her stubborn unbelief at the time of Apostle Paul, it's only temporary. And during the interim, the Lord is using the church to proclaim the way of salvation. And he still is. He still is using the church. But I believe that the same spirit of stupor that was over Israel at the time of Jesus Christ, that spirit of stupor has now come over the church. Now, I'm not talking about the remnant. I'm talking about denominational churches or apostate churches or churches that won't preach the gospel. They preach humanism. And I believe that spirit, this is going to be one of my points today, is that I believe the spirit of stupor has now come to the Gentiles. The idea that God would utterly forsake Israel is unthinkable to Paul, and it's unthinkable to me because I read the Bible. It's true that a person might get that notion from Paul's strong words at the end of chapter 10. But he's ready now with a number of arguments to prove this is just not so. To his mind, there is no way for God to fail to keep his promises to the forefathers of Israel. And I believe he was writing on the Spirit of God. I believe it's not Paul's mind that's writing. I believe everything that he wrote is by the Spirit of God. I'm sorry, I'm struggling today with the drainage. He says, I'm a full-blooded Jew. And no man can be a true Jew and believe God would break his word to us. Paul makes his Jewishness known when he says he has descended from Abraham, to whom the promise of the Jewish people was first made, through the tribe of Benjamin. Being a Benjamite was significant. It was this tribe, along with Judah, that returned from the exile in Babylon and became the hope of the world. It was on these two tribes that the future of Israel depended after the Babylonian captivity. Go then and bend your knee to pray for Israel's ancient race. Ask the dear Savior every day to call them by his grace. Go, for a debt of love is due from Christian Gentiles to the Jew.
Amen.
Always Christian Gentiles. We have a debt of love to the Jew.
And financial.
11:2-4. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. I do not believe this is Paul speaking as a Jew. I believe this is Paul speaking by the Holy Spirit. Because it is my belief that every word in the Holy Bible is written by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Know you not what the scriptures say of Elijah? how he makes intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what says the answer of God to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Okay, as I have said earlier, it appears that a spirit of stupor has come over the Gentile nation of America. But we are believing and we are crying out, I am pressing in for another great, powerful move of the Spirit of God to bring forth the sons of God into the fullness, and the overcoming, victorious church shall rise out of this. Yes. Mm-hmm. This is what Carolyn's pressing into. But today I'm going to be showing what Paul was preaching to that spirit of stupor that was over Israel at the time of his ministry. Paul employs two words to show that it's impossible for God to abandon Israel, his people, and foreknew. God foreknew you, God foreknew me, God foreknew Eastgate Ministries, he called it forth, God foreknew other ministries, God foreknew the Israelites. Though Israel has rejected God's way of salvation, she is still his people. She might forsake him, but there is no way for him to forsake her.
It's his wife.
And what makes this so certain? God chose her on the basis of his foreknowledge. This means he chose her to be his people, knowing in advance all about her rebellion and disobedience. God chose you and God chose me, knowing all about our rebellion and disobedience. Aware that she would rebel against him in stubborn unbelief, he chose her just the same. And it can only mean that her rebellion was part of his plan to redeem the world. So while the Jews are out, the Gentiles are having their turn. And after the Gentiles are given their opportunity with the way of salvation, God will restore the Jews in their rightful place in the worship of the Lord. Paul's point is, God could choose while seeing their unbelief and the way they would treat him. His choices have to stand. His choices are made in eternity and carried out according to his sovereign purposes. If God can foreknow individuals and forgive them their sins, he can also foreknow peoples and forgive their sins. We sang this morning, how great is our God. If you know and believe that this is our God, then you look at the big picture. If you can see the big, I can't see the big picture of God, I can't, but I try. I try to look into the big picture and see how the Spirit of God is moving over regions and the earth. Because see, the big picture of God is what really matters, not what the circumstances of my life are. If he chose us knowing what we were, he could choose Israel knowing what she was. Read Hosea. Very clear. He had Hosea marry a prostitute and to play on the stage how Israel treated him. Mm-hmm. Well, look at the Church of the United States of America right now. We got 50 kinds of Bibles. We got CDs. We have streaming. We have internet. We've got everything in the world. The preacher's preaching on every corner. If a person's read the Bible, they start preaching. And we still have spirit stupor. Paul also makes it clear that Israel's falling away from God has never been total or complete. There has always been a faithful remnant within Israel. Even in the darkest hours of her history, some Israelites were faithful to him. Paul takes us back to the days of Elijah. when the Israelites were worshiping a foreign deity by the name of Baal. The northern 10 tribes of Israel had turned to Baal worship in such numbers that the prophet felt the nation was lost to God. In an attempt to stem the sweeping apostasy, Elijah performed a great miracle. Fire came down from the sky on his cry to God. This made King Ahab and Queen Jezebel so furious they ordered him killed. Elijah lost heart. Now I'm going to say something to you prophets and ministers out there and to those that are even in this house. In the days ahead, there will be many things that will come against us. There will be many trials, and there will be many things that we will have to push through. And there are going to be many things that the devil will try to bring against us to cause us to lose heart. Your losing heart is not part of your function when you were called. You were called to do what God called you to do, regardless of what comes around you, and it's just not about you. And when you make it about you, then you're going to lose heart.
Amen.
From the slopes of Mount Horeb, he cried to God in despair. He wanted to die, thinking the entire nation had forsaken the Lord. He told God he was the only faithful Jew left. God answered, saying, I have still have 7,000. So even though it appeared to Elijah that all of Israel had turned against the Lord, it really wasn't so. There is a remnant in the United States of America whose prayers to God are moving the hands of God over this nation. There is a remnant in the United States of America whose God has called to pray for your nation, to pray and intercede that God's hand will move the leaders of this nation. In their feet, which are made of clay, and in their flesh, they will fail and fall. But I can tell you who it's on. And if you're complaining, and if you're murmuring about the government of the United States of America, let me tell you, church, it's on you. Verses 5 through 6. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to election of grace. Now, I'm going to paraphrase that. Now, if he chose those people then, of course their works had nothing to do with it. For if men could earn God's favor, then the whole idea of grace is meaningless. I am who I am today because of the grace of God. I could be except for God's grace, I could be a drug addict, a prostitute, I could be anything else other than a preacher of the gospel, except for God's grace. And you're following after the Lord because of the grace of God. God has a covenant on people throughout the ages who have come to God by faith. That's Hebrews 11. Seed of Abraham is a spiritual seed, and it's one seed in the Bible. It's not seeds. That seed is Jesus Christ. There's a small group who have remained faithful. This group consisted of those Israelites who believed the preaching of the apostles and received Christ as their Messiah. There will always be a believing nucleus until the times of the Gentiles have been fulfilled. When I'm putting this together, I'm saying, God, send the evangelist. Send the evangelist, Lord. Send out the evangelist. The Gentiles need to know that this thing is closing down. Mm-hmm. Now, will the door still be open for them to be saved? Yes, just like it's open for the Jews to be saved. If they will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be saved now. And have down through the ages, and there's always been Jews who've been saved. Okay, but when it closes, it's going to be a trickling in of the Gentiles. God's salvation program is going back to the Jews. But it will be through the blood of Jesus Christ, not through the blood of bulls and goats. If the Lord has preserved the Jewish people, there could be no doubt. Nations have come and gone. We have a very young nation, just over 200 years old. in power, sent, risen, and disappeared in my lifetime. You can go into nations over there, and they have different names than they were when I was born. Or when I went to school. But the Jew continued to survive. His very existence is proof that God has not utterly forsaken his people. Jesus was a Jew. And when you consider the attempts made in the last 2,000 years to wipe them out, the survival of the Jew is miraculous. Amen. Jesus sits on the throne of David. The throne is not a chair or seat somewhere beyond the Milky Way or someplace in the Middle East. The Greek word translated throne is thronos, and it means a place or seat of authority. It's the right to rule. Mm-hmm. To rule from his throne is to speak in the authority of Jesus. The house of the heavenly David is the church made up of Jew and Gentile. Jews saved today are added to the church the moment they receive Christ. In that split second, they are exalted to a higher level to become sons of God. Thus, they exchange their national privileges for spiritual privileges. Because through the blood of Jesus, I have the same spiritual privilege as the Jews. No Jew is saved because he is a Jew or because he has kept the law. Nobody ever kept the law. He is elected to God's family only because he is a God lover and has received the gift of righteousness by faith. The big truth of Romans is built on two great things, grace and faith. Grace is God's part in salvation, and faith is man's part. 7-10. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber or the spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. To this day, Paul says, and I don't think it's changed. And David says, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see. And I paraphrase this, their back bent double under the burden of their law. Beverly was talking about burdens that people can't get off of them. People who carry burdens around, their backs are bent double. When I wrote this in 2010, we had been discussing the verses on the spirit of stupor. And then I was reminded, and I do have the date here, I think I had shared with you when God had me preach that time of that scripture from January to March. It was 2004. I didn't remember the date, but in these notes I found the date. And I preached it. And after that, that's when I began to notice the spirit of stupor coming upon God's people. And it's become stronger and stronger. It's a very serious matter. I mean, these are serious things we need to be praying about. Those that we love that are under a spirit of stupor, they're missing what God has for them this time, but he has a remnant. And you're it, folks. In case you don't know it, you're it. You wouldn't be spending a Tuesday morning on a gorgeous, beautiful Tuesday in here unless you wanted to know what God is, what a word of wisdom of what God is doing. Moses, Isaiah, David, Jesus, and Paul prophesied these words that the unbelieving masses would be hardened by the Lord. Isaiah said a narcotic spirit, that's my words, our spirit of stupor was upon them. Okay, so Boehner, our ex-speaker of the House, has now taken up marijuana. I imagine he was smoking pot while he was speaking of the house.
He was known to drink heavily.
And smoke pot. Because now he's setting up a pot smoking business.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he is setting up a business of selling pot. Okay, so part of our spirit of stupor is a narcotic spirit on our people. What about the opioids? The opioids that are taking over the mind of people is part of the spirit of stupor.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, that's
right. He's referring to the anesthetic effect of unbelief upon a person, but also there is an actual narcotic spirit taking over our nation. Mm-hmm. Coming in through our forest borders. If a man turns his back on the light, he then faces in the direction of darkness. When an unbeliever does this, he becomes anesthetized against the truth. No Jew or Gentile is born with spiritual blindness upon him. Anyone who wants to receive Christ may, and he will always have a witness to every single person. One who doesn't want to, who prefers to walk in the way of his fathers, blindly following the Jewish tradition, will remain in that blindness which God has visited upon Israel for the last 3,500 years. I wrote here, I believe in 2004, a narcotic spirit was poured out over the minds of unbelievers in this nation. I wrote that in 2010. Now, we have opioids that are taking over the minds and lives of many people, killing them.
Yes.
Whether Jew or Gentile, this renders them insensitive to the Spirit's witness. Their spiritual senses have become stupefied. Well, that's a pretty strong message, Carolyn. He hardens unbelieving hearts the same way he hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He was given repeated chances to repent, yes, with each opportunity his heart got harder until it was like stone. The Lord hardened the hearts of the Jews with repeated messages and warnings by the prophets. He hardened them with frequent confrontations of the truth. The more they resisted it, the harder their hearts became. It is a psychological law that once the truth is rejected, it's easier to reject the second time. Still easier in the third until a person's heart becomes calcified. The snare of the table is interestingly described by C.S. Lovett. The Lord established the holy feast of the Jews as a means of worshiping him. These feasts were to the Jews what the communion or Lord's Supper is to us. Yet Paul, quoting from the 69th Psalm, says these holy feasts, with Jews' love, constituted a snare. But how? In the Orient, if you were invited to sit at a man's table, you were his friend for life. Following that tradition, the Jews figured that sitting at the table made them holy. They assumed they were right with God simply because they sat at the feast table. You can see how a religious spirit would believe that. Their trust then was not in the Lord, but in the feast. Now, I ask the church today, at the time of feast time, how many of you are putting your trust in the Lord, or how many of you are putting your trust in the feast? They trusted in the ceremony and the tradition, and that's what made it a snare. The snare of the table. Paul goes, they did not have the revelation that the feasts were fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I don't believe you could come to this church and not know that every single feast that Christ fulfilled it, and that he became it. How can you believe that he is the Passover lamb and not know that he's the Passover feast? How can you not know that the Holy Spirit is the Feast of Pentecost and still go to a Pentecostal feast and look for something spiritual there except the Holy Ghost? And the glory of God is the Feast of Tabernacles. Yeah, we need to preach chapter 11 more, preachers. Mm-hmm. Does this mean the Jews have stumbled, never to rise again? Is their ruin complete? Absolutely not. The result of their failure has been to bring salvation to the Gentiles. Is Beverly over there?
Yeah, she's on.
Okay. Just check it on her. God planned it this way so that the Jews would be jealous when they saw what they were missing and would want salvation for themselves. Now, if the failure of the Jews means the riches of the world, and I think Beverly mentioned a while ago that our wealth came through the Jewish people, the failure of the Jews means the riches of the world. All of the riches that God promised the Jews came in to Christians. And they're rejecting the spiritual riches of the Gentiles. Think what it will be like when Israel receives her fullness. I hope I'm hanging around then.
Oh, me too. Because
I'm not planning on getting out of this thing. I'm going to get out of it with two God's graces when I go to heaven. I'm telling you. I want to be around and see all these beautiful scriptures fulfilled.
Amen.
Thousands of years, Israel had the only salvation store in the world. She alone had the privilege to show the other nations how to worship God. Ever since she herself ignored that way, and she, of course, didn't take the job seriously. So maybe I'll stop and preach here. Church, are you taking what God has given you seriously? Are you just going on your way and saying, give me mine? Give me mine. Or do you not know that to the church, you have become the salvation store for the nations? When her Messiah finally arrived in the world, she rejected him. Consequently, she was put out of business as God's only agent. If God has a call on your life, and many are called, but few are chosen. If he called you, and then he chose you, and then he gave you a commission, and then he told you to do it, and you're God's agent, and you don't do what God called you to do, you'll be put out of business. Shortly after the rejection, I'm talking to the church, Pentecost occurred and Jesus became available to anyone who wanted him. No longer was it necessary for a person to go to the Jews to be saved. All anyone had to do was hear the gospel, believe it, and receive Jesus as his Savior. He became righteous the moment he did. So Israel went out of business, and God began sending apostles into the world with the good news. Okay, I believe the apostolic movement is being raised up by God and being sent out to the world. But there are so many who are claiming to be apostles, as the Bible says, who are not apostles. They're just looking for title and recognition.
That's right.
And I can promise you, if you're an apostle, you won't have to announce yourself.
Amen.
You won't have to declare who you are. Every person in the world that has the Spirit of God will know it. And you won't have to go around declaring who you are. When Paul speaks of Israel's failure, he's referring to her going out of business as God's salvation store. When he speaks of riches coming to the Gentile, he means all of the covenants, promises, and powers promised to those who believe by faith. Church, we're living below our provision. Sometimes the struggles of life, sometimes the struggles of people's lives, when you're a pastor, Sometimes the struggles of people around you take you away from the focus that you're supposed to be on, which is following after the Lord and living in all that He has provided for the church. Don't let people drag you into their mud hole. Don't let people drag you into their mud hole. You don't, if somebody's in a mud hole, you don't go get in that mud hole and wallow with them. You show them how to get out. But don't go get in that mud hole with them. That's what they want you to do. They got mud on them. They want you to get, they want pretty clean you to get mud on you. We're not helping anybody. They're just taken away from what you're supposed to be doing. Which is to throw them a golden ring and say, hey, grab hold now. You'll come out of that mud hole. Let me see how we're doing here. If the fall of Israel has already brought spiritual riches to the world, think of the benefits mankind will enjoy when she receives Jesus as her King and Messiah. 13-14. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. For if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them is the reconciling of the world, what the receiving of them shall be but life from the dead. I tell people all the time, if you're an apostle and you're called to be an apostle, you're called to be an apostle of something. Paul knew he was the apostle of the Gentiles. And Peter was the apostle of the church. Each one of the apostles were sent. Thomas, an apostle to India. And I could go on. Each one of them were sent out as over something. And you'll know what it is because God will tell you. And if God tells you you're an apostle to something, and then you go ahead and speak it. But there's a lot of people saying God said that God hadn't said. He said, I don't want to sound as if I'm ignoring you Gentiles when I dwell on Israel's fulfillment. He has repeatedly expressed his passion for the Jews. And now he has devoted almost 3 chapters to them. The Old Testament predicted that God would scatter Israel and bury her among the nations of the world. This was literally fulfilled in AD 70 because of their rejection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus prophesied it, and Jerusalem was destroyed, and the Jews dispersed. For over 2,000 years now, the nation has been buried in the Valley of Dry Bones. In our day, we see the return of the Jews to their homeland. However, they're mostly returning in unbelief. Yet there are Messianic Jews who continue to evangelize their people. And without fear and with courage, because if a Messianic Jew goes to Israel right now, and Mary Baptist gave us a witness of this, and we saw a Christian Jews over in Israel once, the last time we were there. Sometime I was there. I guess it was the last time. I mean, a Christian Jew came to see us, and she had to hide in the dark of the night and creep up the halls and was scared to come and see me for somebody to see her with me. But not only get put out, some of them, their lives threatened. Mary Baptist said his life was threatened. He had to leave Israel. Jesus will return one day and plant his feet upon the Mount of Olives, and they will look on him whom they have pierced. When that day arrives, they will embrace him as their king. A thought came to me that as the olive tree is the tree of faith, then the Mount of Olives would be the mountain of faith. 16-24. For if the first fruits are holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches are broken off, and you being the wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root you. You will say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he does not spare you. I'm speaking to the Church of the United States of America and to the Gentile Church across the nations. This is to you. How can you hate the Jews and read this scripture? Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but towards you goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you shall be cut off. And that goes for the church. Church, if you're not walking in kindness and goodness, you stand a good chance of being cut off. And then also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Paul is leading up to a flat statement. All Israel will be saved. The idea of Israel as an olive tree is taken from Jeremiah's prophecy, where she's pictured as a green olive tree, beautiful in form and fruit. It's interesting that this figure of speech describing Israel is in chapter 11, verse 16. 11 is the number of judgment, disorder, revelation, transition, the prophet. 16 means love and established beginnings. The nature and character of living things are determined by their roots. Paul is saying, since the roots of Israel are holy, they belong to God, so is the rest of the tree. By the roots, he means Abraham and the patriarchs. The branches of the tree are those Jews who have sprung from Abraham. The tree goes and grows out of the promise made to the founding fathers. These are the heroes of faith who reveal God's program to those to whom they were sent. These promises are both spiritual and physical. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things shall be added to you. When I moved to Katy, Texas, and I knew that I was to start preaching and teaching, so I went around to all the churches around the city. They weren't prophetic at the time. They are now. Sister Margaret said last week, everybody's prophesying. Isn't that wonderful that even all the churches have let the people, a lady in the prophecy, she said everybody's prophesying. That's wonderful. But in those days, it worked. Not only were they not prophetic, their focus was on Katy, Texas had just begun to explode with wealth and construction and building. So what they were after were noses, names, and nickels to get into their churches. This was the whole focus of these big churches, these big beautiful churches here. Now, I'm not saying that they're not following after God and the preachers aren't preaching that they're following after God. I'm not saying that. But what I was after, they weren't after back then. And so I said to the Lord, to whom am I sent? I cannot find them. To whom am I sent? To whom am I sent? Where are the people that I'm sent to? Because I knew that wasn't my calling. And I wasn't about to get into a calling that I wasn't called into.
Amen.
And then a little white church opened up for us. And then God began to send people in, those to whom I'm sent. If we get this part right, then everything else in our life will be blessed and in order. And when I would go places, when I would go out to Fulshire, and I enjoyed the meetings, they were wonderful, absolutely wonderful, anointed, spirit-led meetings. But I'm looking to see, to whom am I sent? One. I went to those Fulshire meetings for how many years?
Six.
Four. Because there was one person I was sent to. Lord told her one day she came up to me in the meeting. She said, "You're going to ordain me." You remember that?
Now I said, "God told me I'm supposed to be ordained. I don't know what that means."
You know, I think you, but she said, "Are you going to ordain me?" You asked me. I looked at her.
I didn't even know you could.
And I did. And it was a few years down the road from there. See, to whom are you sent? You might go into a big crowd of people. And there might be only one person there that you're sent to. If I got caught up, we're talking big money, we're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars to build these big churches. The largest church, one of the largest churches in Houston, made the statement. I was visiting his church. God, I was there that Sunday. The other Sunday I heard it was in his church. I won't say who it was. God wanted me to hear it. He said, "We're moving a church out to Katy, Texas." They hadn't done that at that time. Because he says the wealth of the city is going to be between I-10 and Westheimer in the years that are coming. So he moved the church out here. I'm not to whom are you sent? Maybe he sent to, but I wasn't. I don't know how I got off on that. Y'all hadn't heard that story, did you? Remember when Keith Miller told me that there's a lot of things y'all don't know about me? Mm-hmm. Every once in a while we travel, a little story come up and Simon says, "Oh, here's something." I knew I wasn't sent to that crowd, but they've got big churches all over the city now. Well, praise God, God's using them, bringing them in, discipling them. That's good.
Yes.
I don't come against that. But you got to know who to whom you're sent. We Gentiles have had over 2,000 years to take advantage of the privilege of being grafted onto this tree. Let us not take it for granted, because the time is coming when it will end. The Gentiles are not doing any more with their opportunity than did the Jews. Those who will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit receive one of the greatest promises of the Old Testament. Holy Spirit is the rich sap flowing from those Jewish roots. The Holy Bible is a Jewish book written by Jews. We should regard our place in this grace with great humility. One day the Jewish and Gentile Christians will be joined on the tree by the mass of renegade Jews who will come to share their faith and be restored as active members of people of God. There was evidently an anti-Jewish bias among Gentile converts when Paul wrote this. But see, he wrote to the Roman Christians. He wrote this to the Romans. So Gentiles were learning to shout down Judaism's proud claims with even louder counterclaims of their own privileges and the Jews' deprivation. But remember, the Jews were killing them. Two, Romans were killing the Christians, as we saw in the Apostle Paul movie. Romans were killing the Christians by putting them out there in the gangs and letting the lions and kill them. And the Jews were persecuting the Christians. So you could see why, if they weren't, they could get an attitude real quick. And Paul deplores this unhealthy attitude. He reminds them of their debt to the Jewish heritage, and let us never forget it. Gentiles have the Bible, It's a Jewish book. We have the Holy Spirit, a Jewish promise. We have the Lord, a Jewish Messiah. And we do not have to go to any temple, neither do we have to perform any rituals. We can meet the Lord any place, one-on-one, crawl up in his lap, have a one-on-one personal relationship with him. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through any rituals. Any place, any time, we care to come to him on the grounds of his mercy.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
In the present stupor of the Gentiles, very few want a personal relationship with God through Christ.
That's right.
They may go to church. And then they think, well, if I went to church once every 6 weeks, and I sit there, and they pray for me, I'll be just fine. No, it's relationship. It's relationship. As a result, false Christianity has arisen in the world, another gospel, and they're worshiping another Jesus. Many preachers are not only unsaved, but denied a virgin birth. Christ's deity and his blood atonement. We're hearing it come out of the Pope's mouth. Educators and politicians are hell-bent on destroying the faith of young people, taking particular delight in flaunting the theory of evolution in the face of God's Word. Our colleges are filled with anti-Christ doctrine. The Gentiles' world is clearly an unbelieving world, every bit as faithless as the Jews. Paul's warning that God won't coddle Gentiles any more than he did the Jews is going unheeded. They've been given over to a spirit of stupor. We're coming to the end of the time of the Gentiles. And next week, I will start with I'll still be in chapter 11 because it's so, I can't finish it all at one time, that all of Israel will be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.